Welcome.
Good morning. We are beginning our virtual plus first news and then the science of Kabbalah. Russia, Yasintuki. On the 14th of December, there was a lecture, the science of Kabbalah. There were 35 people present. It was a successful lecture. Ruslan Bitsoev gave a lecture. He specially came from Vladikavkaz. People were very active, asking questions, many books, Kabbalah for beginners were sold, and the Yasintuki group is expressing their gratefulness to the group of Vladikavkaz, and we congratulate you with this great success. Moscow. Last Sunday, there was an open lecture in the Institute of Geography. Alexander Balashov and Dima Zhigailov gave that lecture. There were only 8 people. Then the Moscovites decided to undertake more active advertisement before such lectures. On Friday, on the 12th of December, in the women's group, there was a psychological training. There were 25 women. The training has continued for 7 hours. Yeah, seven-hour training is nice. What I would like to advise the Moscow groups just concerns the lectures, maybe try to give them in the Moscow University and the institutes for the students who are used to coming to the lectures. It's a problem to advertise Kabbalah in the streets, but maybe it's much simpler to do in the institutes and universities of Moscow. Kirovograd. The Kirovograd reminds us about the subscription. People can subscribe directly from the site of Bnei Baruch. If we do that, if our number reaches 1,000 people, we will receive the right to have an access to 2 million people on the internet. Each of us has a number of email addresses, so we can do that. We need more, 700 people more. The group San Francisco spent some time in Atlanta. 2 groups joined together. There were common meals. All in all, there were 30 people there. Both groups took part in the virtual lesson last Sunday. They discussed various projects for circulation of Kabbalah, spoke about translations. The guys from San Francisco made a video clip of that visit to Atlanta, and we are waiting. We expect to receive that video clip, and so that we'll be able to show it to our world group, Queens, New York. I received a letter from Eli Katanov. He had a lecture the day before yesterday in Queens. The group distributed more than 3,000 flyers, posters, advertised the lecture in the local newspaper, in the local radio. But there were only two people. But still, Eli Katanov thanks his group for their support. So what's the problem? I would say that it is known, a known fact that by distributing flyers you cannot attract people. The material has to be distributed, circulated in the way of brochures, so that some elementary understanding would be given to people. I had a radio conversation with America. I was interviewed by an American radio station. So the people who I spoke 20 years ago asked the same kind of questions. You probably turn to the same kind of people. I discovered that America hasn't changed. They asked me, and what is the difference between Kabbalah and religion? And my grandfather was a great rabbi, and my father told me something about Kabbalah. These questions, testify to the to the fact that we have listeners that maybe we shouldn't attract. We need to find a different kind of approach to people. I think that we need to distribute brochures, make them by yourselves, some basic information for the beginners. If the person who read this information has the need for it, he will come to the lecture. If not, then he won't come. I don't think that this effort of thousands of flyers and posters and advertisement on the radio and in the newspapers is justified. No, I don't think so. All the same, the group was very active and they established contact with the Russian language paper. This is a free newspaper. Quite possible that it will help. Who is using, who is reading that paper? Maybe it comes to the people who don't need Kabbalah, who cannot get out of their stigmas. Maybe you need to address the American English speaking public. When we said that we're going to circulate our books in America, you said that we are going to distribute 500 copies in 2 years. How can it be? I thought at the time, even in Israel we distribute 1,500 copies at least. We don't speak about only the Russian speakers in Israel. The children of the former citizens of the Soviet Union don't read in Russian, and regardless of this fact, we distribute a lot more. So probably there is no contact with the listener or reader who would be willing to come to us. We move on the parallel tracks, so to speak. St. Petersburg. One more publication was made in the paper, Secret Material. People in all countries of Europe would be able to read our materials, because that paper is distributed all over Europe. So we thank the St. Petersburg group and personally to Zhenya Litvar. Dnei Baruch turns to all the leaders of the group. Please send us all your publications. The criticism or agreements, all kinds of materials and articles, everything will be posted on the web page called Press About Us. We post there anything. If I am cursed and condemned, we post it there. Doesn't matter what, it should exist. It's an archive that has to be complimented all the time. So if there's something about us, please send us a copy. Besides, I have my personal archive where all the newspapers and magazines I collect, all kinds of information about us. But I'm asking you, if you do something, all the printed material that you come across, please send a copy to us. Bnei Baruch is thanking Vitaly Grutsenko in Toronto for maintaining the new server. Igor Kupisok, who is responsible for the subtitles at each of our world meetings. Thanks to that person, we understand what we sing. And also, Valdas from Lithuania prepared a new version of Archive Kabbalah Media for a number of months. Valdas has been preparing that thing. So now, all our visitors can receive that information from the internet. We continue to conduct our world meetings on Sundays. You understand that all these meetings do not resemble the meetings that we had before. They were not the kind of concerts or performances. We are not actors. We don't know exactly how to pass our emotions and feelings to you. Sometimes it's turns out awkward, but the problem is not that in that. It's not the meeting of the world group. The group of Bnei Baruch is making a performance in front of the rest of the people around the world. We need to conduct something that would unite us, that would enable us to join together. In the meantime, it's a kind of a performance on our part. So naturally, we will continue making these meetings, but let's try and make all the groups in every corner of the world active, and whoever studies with us, whoever aspires to the same goal, have to take a very active part. I emphasize active part in that meeting. All the groups have to send their materials, video clips, some songs. I understand the technical difficulties of that, but at least some large groups, St. Petersburg, Moscow, Kirovograd, Lithuania, New York, San Francisco, all these groups, Vienna, of course, we have about 7 or 8 groups that can be connected to us and be very active and include themselves in our mutual undertaking. Since we have to create this mutual bond, when we feel everyone's support, this can enable us to get out of ourselves. We are going to cross the Mahzum. We say, what does it mean? We need to have strength of the bond. When I can say, I am sure that everyone will support me, that we all work for the same goal. It's not simple at all. We begin to understand that. So let's take an active part in our meetings of friends. It'll be quite sufficient to do it for a couple of hours a week. The Kirovograd group has informed us that they are preparing their own meeting. We expect all the other groups to be as active as the Kirovograd group. Next Sunday, every group in the world should start their active participation in that project. We will include this or that group according to the agreement with them, and we will pass our excitement and support to each other. Please pay attention to my words. So please discuss it in your groups and start sending to us your materials and take part in our meetings in real time. We have to advance. Our next world meeting in April on Pesach is approaching. We have February, March, and April. After the new year, we have about 3 months to get ready for our meeting. Otherwise, it will not have a serious goal or conclusion, some substantial result. So let's make an effort to feel each other. And now we return to our topic, the science of Kabbalah, paragraph 56, Tzimtzum Bet, called Tzimtzum Nehi de Ak. So paragraph 56. So we have cleared up the meaning of Tzimtzum Aleph, which was made on Pina Dalet, Kli Malchut, as it stopped receiving the light. We have also spoken of the Masag and its Zivug De'akah with the upper light. It raises Or Hozer, which plays the role of the new vessel of reception instead of the Pina Dalet. So we had the Kli Malchut. And this kli which emerged after the four stages of the emanation of the light. It received the light, realized it cannot continue to be in that state. Here it felt the giver, and inside it felt shame. So this feeling of shame prompted it, compelled it to perform Tzimtzum Aleph, the first restriction. So it expels the light and remains empty. Then it decided to compensate its reception with the screen. It will build another kli, which will be expressed in its intention to bestow delight upon the Creator. These are desires, and these up here is intentions, our intentions. So these intentions directed at the Creator constitute the new kli. Above the desires. So the desires are used, but only to the extent of having the intentions. So the Masach and the Zivug Daka with the upper light, it raises Or Chozer, which plays the role of the new vessel of reception instead of the Pina Dalet. Here we have the Masach, and it creates the correct intention in us, with the help of which we can receive the light inside. So this light enters us already dressed in our intention. There is the desire itself. Inside the desire, there's a certain layer of the intention, and inside the intention there is the upper light. So what is different between these two states? The difference consists in the fact that the kli added the intention to its desire. Every desire acquired the intention. That's what we have to do. And how can we acquire it? As soon as we acquire the intention for each of our desires become external. They get out of themselves, and we start feeling the universe outside of ourselves, start feeling the Creator, feeling something that objectively exists beyond us. If there is no such intention to get out of our own limits, then we can feel only ourselves. All those fluctuations that take place inside our egoism, no more than that. Then we spoke about the weakening of the Masach de Guf, the screen of the body. So when the Kli decided to receive the light only with the help of the intention, it receives the first portion. We draw such diagrams. So it decided to receive the light from Pe down to Tabur. The Or Makif remained outside. It receives only in the Toch, while Sof remains empty. the screen has not enough strength to accept the entire light and make the whole light or pnimi. So both these lights press on the screen in the tabor like a valve. It descended to the line of tabor, so the light presses on that screen, compelling it to descend to the line of Siyum, because there's a lot of light outside, but the screen is unable to do that. Is not enough intentions, so it decides to return to the initial position. But since it has impressions about this previous state, where it could not resist this pressure, so the next zivuk is performed on the Rishimo 4x3, and he starts working with this degree of aviyut, consequently receives less light. So the screen is weakening gradually. 4, 3, 2, 1, and 0. And here, 5 partsufim of the Olam Kadmon emerge here. There are 5 degrees of aviyut, 4, 3, 2, 1, and 0. These 5 partsufim, as regards each other, are defined as Keter, Chokhmah, Binuz, Zerampin, and Malchut, and the lights Nefesh, Ruach, Neshama, Chaya, Yechida, they consist of the same Sefirot with the same lights, Naran Chai. According to the general rule that the individual is similar to the general, the entire universe consists of 10 parts, and each part of it consists of its 10 parts, and so on and so forth. And each tiny particle copies the structure of the entire universe and includes all its properties. It is similar to a holographic picture, where each tiny part carries the entire information about the whole picture. So we see here that the screen is weakening as a result of the impact between Or Makif and Or Pnimi. These processes lead to the formation of Ta'amim, Nekudot, Tagin, and Otiyot, Teguf, in each Partsuf. When the light enters the Partsuf, it is called the Ta'amim. When it is expelled from the Partsuf, when it exits, this is called Nekudot. And the Rishimot that are left from Ta'amim are called Tagin, whereas the Rishimot from Nekudot are called Otiyot. Just the Otiyot are the Kilim we speak about. The Kilim have been before, but these were the Kilim given by the Creator. And here they are independently formed, and in this way, when all these Rishimot from the Kli's inability to screen from the screen's inability to stay in the Tabor, it expelled the entire light and has to expel the light and gradually rise to the Peh. So all these memories all these deficiencies, lack of strength. On the one hand, the desire to receive the light of the Creator, because this is the actual bestowal. On the other hand, it's the feeling of impossibility to do that. So all these sensations are accumulated, and in the end, we will consist, our souls, we will include all these rishimot, and they will enable us to realize ourselves and start ascending to the Creator. They will be accumulated in us, they will reach such enormous size that they will demonstrate us the point in the universe where we are. So all these rishimot that are being accumulated, the otiyot, are destined to enable us to start ascending using these kelim as our own. These processes lead to the formation of ta'amim, nekudot, tagin, and otiyot deguf in each partsuf, ascent of masach to peh derosh, from the tabur, masach rises to the peh, and it's zivug da'aka with the upper light. As a result, the second partsuf is born, one level below the first, and then the third, as up in comparison with the Galgalta. This is the partsuf up, and this is Galgalta here. So the partsuf Chokhmah, in comparison with the partsuf Keter, so it emerges and receives an additional portion of the light. So we can't say that although the Galgalta is the biggest partsuf, is the Chech, expelled the light. So what's the point of making new partsufim? Oh, there's a very important point. These lights are not so small. The fact is that when only the partsuf Galgalta emerges, it is filled with the light of Nefesh, the smallest light. But when the partsuf up emerges, the light of Nefesh descends to the partsuf up, and the light of Ruach fills the Galgalta. And when the partsuf sag emerges, and the light of Nefesh descends to the sag, Ruach passes on to the Ab, and the light of Neshama fills the Galgalta. And when the Pertsuf Ma emerges, then the Nefesh descends to it, Ruach passes to the Sag, Neshama fills the Ab, and the light of Chaya fills the Galgalta. And finally, when the Pertsuf Bon emerges, all these lights descend respectively, and the final, the biggest light of Yehida, enters the Galgalta. Galgalta is able to do that because all these Pertsufim emerge. So a very small, tiny Pertsuf Bon emerges, and that results in the Galgalta's reception of the most powerful light of Yehida. The Pertsuf Bon has the 0 degree of Aviyud. It practically does nothing. It just receives the light of Nefesh, the smallest, the tiniest light. But the Gilgalta at the same time receives the light of Yehida. Thanks to this, transformator effect. So if this Bon here can receive the light of Nefesh, then Ma receives the light of Ruach in order to pass the light of Nefesh onto Bon, and the Sag has to receive the light of Ruach to pass Neshama to Ma and Nefesh to Bon. So as a result, the Gilgalta has to receive the light of Yehida. Then the Gilgalta creates the Masach on the degree, the fourth degree of Aviyut. The Gilgalta made Zivugim 4, 3, 2, 1 and 0 degrees of Aviyut on itself, and now it makes Zivugim on all the rest of Pertsufim. First, we can say that it had Naran Chai de Nefesh. In the end, it has all its Naran Chai. So all the consecutive Pertsufim make the first initial Pertsuf grow. It's like with children and the parents. The children form their parents. What else does Baal Salam want to speak about here? So these processes lead to the formation of Ta'amim, Nekudot Tagin, and Atiyot Teguf, ascent of Pertsuf of Masach de Pe de Rosh. As a result, the second Pertsuf is born one level below the first, and then the third. These Pertsufim of the world of Adam Kadmon are called the Gilgalta, Ab, and the Sag. Each subsequent Pertsuf dressing on the preceding one from the Pe, the Rosh, and below. What does it mean? They are dressed. We say that the consecutive Pertsuf benefits from the subsequent Pertsuf is dressed on the previous one. For example, the Pertsuf Ab dresses on the Gilgalta from Pe to Tabur. It receives the light from the Gilgalta, but also attains its structure. The Ab feels what happens inside the Gilgalta. So this dressing of the Pertsufim on one another is a very important topic, and we'll speak about it later. So here we have Gilgalta, Ab, Sag, Ma, and Bon. These five Pertsufim receive the light from the world of infinity. If we speak about the way the light passes through them, but as we say about their attainment, how they feel each other. Look how they do it. We have Gilgalta, which in turn divides into Keter, Chochmah, Bina, Zerampin, and Malchut from Pe to the Tabor, and the Rosh of the Pertsuf Ab dresses on the Keter, the Gilgalta, Keter the Toch of the Gilgalta. I'm sorry, let's do it differently. The Ab is dressed on the Chochmah, the Sag is dressed on Bina, Ma is dressed on Zerampin, and Bon is dressed on Malchut. They all dress on the five parts that are in the Toch of Golgotha. So the Golgotha is a structure on which all the other Pratsufim dress. Even Bon, which is so distant from the Golgotha, from the point of view of reception of the light, if Golgotha has the light of Yehida, the Bon receives only the light of Nefesh. But how does it attain this light through all the Pratsufim? But it attains the property of Malchut de Golgotha. The Keter is the Golgotha itself, and all the consecutive Pratsufim are the manifestations of the individual properties of Golgotha. So where does it express itself, realizes itself? It realizes itself in the birth of the consecutive Pratsufim, Ab, Sag, Ma, and Bon. So all these Pratsufim are called the offspring of the Golgotha, its sons. They dress on the Golgotha, are fed by it, and attain. So we can say that the Ab, the Sag, the Ma, and the Bon is actually deciphering of the inner properties of the Golgotha. So these individual Pratsufim are dressed on the Golgotha and work together with it. We'll speak about it. There are many interesting details and things here. We finished paragraph 56, now paragraph 57. You should know that there is not even a hint at the creation of the four worlds of Abia in these three parts of him. He is not mentioning Ma, the Ma and the Bon. They are small parts of him that are not independent. They have only the degree of a view 1 and 0. They cannot independently function. They are pretty passive. That's why he mentions only the three Pratsufim, Golgotha, the Ab and the Sag. So there is not even a hint at the creation of the four worlds of Atzilut, Briya, Yetzirah and Asiya in these three Pratsufim. There wasn't even a place for them, because Golgotha of the world of Adam Kadmon reaches the point of our world. The root of the desired correction hasn't been revealed yet, that being the reason for Tzimtzum Aleph. It was made to provide the Bechina Dalet with an opportunity to receive the upper light and then create man from it, who with the help of the Torah and the commandments for the sake of the Creator could transform reception into bestowal. You see how the Kabbalists write their books? Very confusing, isn't it? Without any preliminary knowledge, explanations, without any gradual adaptation, it just pours it all on us. The worlds of Abia, the man of our world, the place of the souls, and the root of the desired correction hasn't been revealed yet. It had to leave to Tzimtzum Aleph, the Torah, commandments, bestowal to the Creator. What's the problem? When we speak about the Creator who wished to create man, the creation, what do we talk about? The Creator's desire is to bestow delight on the created beings. So the creation has to consist of the desire to receive the pleasure that the Creator has prepared for it. What can the Creator give as the delight? Only that which is in Him. What is the delight that is in Him? There is the delight of bestowal, the delight of love. That's the delight that He can bestow upon the created beings. But how can you pass it on to the receiver? It means that the receiver has to have the same property of bestowal as in the Creator. And how can this property be created in the receiver? It should be intrinsic to the receiver. Can we pass on the property of love to another just to be received by him and not generated from within? So it turns out that in order to create the creation equal to himself, he had to create the creation as opposite to himself, with the sensation of its contrast, with an opportunity to discover all this evil and be able to correct it. And to the extent of the creation's ability to realize its evil and insignificance and will wish to correct it, it will acquire the property of the Creator and will become similar to Him. And once it does that, although it's just the creation and it's opposite to the Creator, if it acquires the property which is similar to the Creator, this resemblance, this similarity, will make it close to the Creator and will feel the same the Creator feels. So the action directed at the similarity with the Creator fills the creation with the supreme delight which exists in the Creator. So how can it be realized? We all know that in our world, the more man is in equilibrium with his environment, the more comfortable his state is. That's what we wish. If we feel cold, we compensate it by dressing, or we heat, warm the environment. If something bad affects us, something that is not in us, we try to compensate it somehow on any level, on the mental and physical or biological levels. If a man or any other creature wants to survive and develop, it has to be in a balance, in the equilibrium with the environment. Everything in the upper world is based on the same principle. It's the principle of similarity, resemblance. As soon as the creation becomes similar to the Creator, the creation enters the state of comfort, eternity, and perfection. Because everything there is in our root, in our source, is felt and perceived by us as good and positive, and vice versa. Whatever is not in him is felt as bad and evil. If we feel him, we feel delight, and if we feel something that is not in him, we suffer. So we have no other means to reach perfection other than reach the similarity to the Creator. So if Malchut was created as opposite to the Creator, if it's absolutely opposite copy of the Creator, it's like a matrix of the seal and an imprint of his own desire. He created the desire to receive and imprinted his own properties in it. So the positive properties of the Creator were transformed as negative in us. And it turns out that we feel them as negative. All these properties are characterized as bestowal, mercy, compassion, love. There are all kinds of words that characterize the Creator's property. They are perceived by us as negative. We don't want it. We want to enjoy them, but we do not want to have them in ourselves. We enjoy them if they are present in other people. So how can we correct our initial intrinsic nature? For that, the Tzimtzum Bet was performed. What does it mean, the Tzimtzum Bet, the second restriction? We discussed how the creation emerges from the Creator, the upper light, with the properties of the Creator, imprints in the desire to receive its own form. And then this desire to receive, because this is called the Sefirat Chochmah, it feels Keter inside the Creator and wants to be similar to it. And this attempt to resemble the Keter gives rise to Bina. Bina is similar to Keter. It wants to bestow the way Keter does. And then the action, which is called Zerampin, is performed, which is similar to Chokhmah, and then an individual desire called Malchut emerges. We can say that all the previous properties are present in Malchut. So we can say that when Malchut feels the Creator, it feels the properties of Bina, and this difference between the property of Malchut and the property of Bina, this discrepancy, contradiction, is felt as shame. And now let's see how we can correct Malchut so that it would acquire the properties of Bina. When it expels the light, does it acquire anything? We needed to acquire the properties of Bina, would be equal to Bina. How can we do that? If the creation consists of five parts, Keter, Chokhmah, Bina, Zerampin, and Malchut, and most important thing is to correct Malchut, the egoistic desire, the genuine desire of the creation. So Malchut should be united with Bina, and based on their unity, something similar to the Creator can be formed, similar to Keter. Bina can be similar to Keter on the aviyut of Chokhmah. In order to be similar to Keter, Malchut, the new egoistic desire, has to attach Bina to itself. If it does it, it can become similar to Keter. In this case, the creation becomes equal to the Creator. How can it be done? This is what the material we're going to study speaks about. So what happens here? It's a very interesting solution of how to elevate man to the level of the Creator. That's our task. And mankind is pushed into this situation by suffering. So the Malchut of the world of infinity, when it emerges after all the previous stages, Malchut decides, I will build a system of the worlds from the world of infinity and down to my own level, a system of filters where the light will be diminished by 20, 40, 60, 80 and 100%. And here will be Malchut itself. When I defend myself, protect myself from the light with the help of the screen, I will be able to remain here. And now I'll start rising to the level of Bina. I take all my desires and will combine it with the Bina's properties. And to the extent of my ability to grow these desires, I will do that. I'll take 20% of my desire and add Bina to that. If I can reach that level, it will be called that I achieved the world of Asiya. And if I add the properties of Bina to 40% of my desires, I'll reach the world of Yetzirah. If I add Bina to 60% of my desires, I'll reach the level of the world of Bria, then Atzilut, and the Adam Kadmon. What I'm trying to say is that Malchut makes two movements. One, from up downwards in order to create the system of filtering the light. It is guaranteed from the egoistic reception on the one hand, and on the other hand, now that it has an adequate system of olamot, from the word alama, the concealment of the light, now it can gradually rise, ascend with the help of Bina, and to the extent of its ability to work with the light, it rises, it enters the field of more and more intensive light. I am Malchut here, and over there is the Creator. If I can absorb the properties of Bina and work with them, then I approach the Creator more and more. It means that I ascend the levels of purification, of correction, of approximation with the Creator. How is it done? Let's study it. Tzimtzum Bet is an action where Malchut connects with Bina for the first time. What happens as a result of this action? The following picture emerges. After all the weakening in our world, this heart is all the egoistic desires of Malchut. So after many, many incarnations of ours, we start feeling the point in our heart, the point of Bina. It's a tiny point in comparison with the desires of Malchut. But if with the help of all kinds of means that are the group, the teacher, and the book, if with the help of these three instruments, three means, we increase the importance of Bina in comparison with the desires of Malchut up to a point where all the egoistic desires begin to serve this part of Bina. As soon as we can suppress the egoistic desires and make them serve the altruistic desire of Bina, we start arising to the spiritual world and we cross the Mukhsam. We made Tzimtzum Aleph, and only now, by attach an amount of Malchut to Bina according to our ability, we take Bina and gradually add parts of Malchut to it, and this way we grow, we ascend. So all these levels are the levels of inclusion of Malchut into Bina. It does it all the time. Bina determines our intention for the sake of the Creator. But as a result, we see the need to make this combined Kli consisting of Malchut and Bina, which will become similar to the Creator. Malchut will acquire the property of Bina, will dress into it. It means that it will create the Kli of bestowal above itself, and only in this Kli it will receive the Creator's light. Or otherwise, we drew Malchut and the layer of the intention of Bina inside, and in that intention the Creator's light is felt. Doesn't matter how we depict it, probably you will find better examples. I even forgot the examples that I used in the past. But what I'm trying to say is that everything is based on this combination of Bina and Malchut. And this is achieved by the action which is referred to as the Tzimtzum Bet. The Kli, which consists of Malchut and Bina combined, is called Adam, man. There's no other creation on all the levels of nature which would not consist of these two parts. So now we proceed to the study of all the preliminary stages that would lead to the emergence of Adam, man. Adam derives from the word of Dome, similar to the Creator, because inside the desire to receive, inside Malchut, there is Bina, desire to bestow. So the Baal Sulam says that in the previous Pratsufim of the world of Adam Kadmon, there wasn't even a hint of the four worlds of Abiyah and the creation of man. We don't even see what these levels are needed for. So we don't see the reason for the revelation of Pina Dalet and the creation of man, who with the help of the Torah and the commandment the action is called the commandment of inclusion Bina into Malchut, and it is performed with the help of the Torah, the upper light, which affecting Bina and Malchut make them join. It resembles subatomic physics reactions when two particles need to be joined. We generate some energy and they merge together thanks to this energy. The light which makes them merge is called the Torah, from the word or, the light, and our preparation for the action of combining Bina and Malchut. And the action that we perform is called the commandment. So this is the performance of a commandment with the help of the Torah. These are our actions that we are going to study. We need to combine Malchut with Bina on each level until we rise to the highest level, and there we'll be completely similar to the Creator. We'll include all the properties of Malchut and Bina. And then the Pina Dalit will be able to be the vessel of reception of the upper light and merge with the Creator. But in the world of Adam Kadmon, there was not even a root of this correction. Man needs to consist not just of Pina Dalit. So in order to become similar to the Creator, man has to include the properties of the nine first spherot, and that is the combination of Bina and Malchut. The examples of bestowal on all kinds, on all levels, on 0, 1, 2, 3, and 4 degrees of Aviyut. So that man should consist not only of Pina Dalit, the desire to receive, but also possess the properties which refer to the first nine spherot, that is the desire to bestow, allowing him to perform good deeds. If man had appeared from the state in which Pratsuf, the Adam Kadmon, had been, he would have had no light at all, because Pina Dalit, being the root of man's spiritual body, would have been below Siyum of the world Adam Kadmon, in total darkness and absolutely opposite to the light by its properties. Look, after Malchut of the world of infinity performed the Tzimtzum, it creates the world of Adam Kadmon. What happens in this world? The Sof of this Pratsuf, which constitutes the pure Malchut, from Tabor down to Siyum, which cannot perform the act of bestowal, hence is left empty. So Malhut here says, I will make a point of not receiving anything. But in these nine first sefirot, I will receive everything I can. With the fourth degree of aviyut, the third degree of aviyut, the ab, the second degree of aviyut, the sag, the first degree of aviyut, the ma, and the zero degree of aviyut, the ban. So all the pratsufim of the world of Adam Kadmon are the kind of pushing away the light on different levels of aviyut. This way Malhut created a precedent. It's divided the descending light into five levels of aviyut. So above the tabur, here is Malchut in the Sof from Tabor to Siyum, and above it there are the lights Keter, Chokhmah, Bina, Zerampin, and Malchut. Nefesh, Ruach, Neshama, Yechida, they are all standing before Malchut ready to enter it. So what is absent in Malchut? Only Bina. I'm writing it above Malchut because it prevails. If it is combined with Bina, it will be able to receive these lights and will be similar to the Creator here. Here, in the worlds that will be formed here later on. Atzilut, Bria, Yetzirah, and Asiyah. That's where we have to achieve a complete merging with the Creator. If we reach the level of the world of Atzilut, it means that we receive everything in the world of Keter and became similar to Ein Sof, the world of infinity. Because the world of Keter is just a preparation. So that it will be prepared to us, all these lights. And all our work of combining Bina with Malchut takes place in the worlds of Atzilut, Bria, Yetzirah, and Asiyah, starting from the bottom, from the world of Asiyah. We consist only of Malchut, and then suddenly feel the point of Bina and work for increasing. The influence of Bina in us, then we cross the Mahsum and start ascending the levels of these worlds. As I drew here, the more Malchut we can attach to Bina, the more we rise. So the world of Adam Kadmon, differentiated between these lights and created the worlds Atzilut, Bria, Yetzirah, and Asiyah. And we can ascend. So that's what we are going to study, the ascent of on these levels, which means the similarity to the Creator and the return to the Creator. That's what we have to achieve in this life, right here and now. In our group work, each of us should desire to make Bina prevail over Malchut. It's a very weak theoretical desire of ours. Mainly we are submerged into our egoistic desires. We are in the group in order to use the group for our own benefit. We take advantage of the group, use it. This is using Bina for the sake of Malchut. It's opposite to our purpose. So each of us, each group, with regards to the world group, has to concentrate on using Malchut for the sake of Bina, so that Malchut would serve Bina, so that it would be willing to submit to the properties of Bina. That's the most important thing that we have to achieve. All our group work is based only on this principle, and all individual work of man is based on this principle. To raise the property of Bina as something exalted, to raise it above our own egoistic desires. Yeah, it's difficult, I understand. But there's no other way out. We won't be allowed to turn from that way. And on the contrary, the entire mankind is pushed forward in that direction. Then the Pina Dalit would become the vessel of reception of the upper light, merging with it by its properties. However, the root of such correction hasn't even been revealed in the world of Adam Kadmon. For that, man should consist not only of the Pina Dalit, the desire to receive, but also possess the properties which refer to the first nine sfirot, that is, the desire to bestow, allowing him to perform good deeds. If man had appeared from the state in which the Pratsuf, the Adam Kadmon, had been, he would have had no light at all. The world of Adam Kadmon exists in a pure Malchut without its combination with Bina. Because Pina Dalit, being the root of man's spiritual body, would have been below Siyum of the world of Adam Kadmon in total darkness and absolutely opposite to the light in its properties. Had man been created of such material, he would have never corrected himself due to the lack of even the slightest desire to give. He would remain an animal. Animals do not this germ of Bina in their Malchut, so they correspond to nature and act in accordance with this unique desire. Man is the only combination of the properties of Malchut and Bina. That's why he makes mistakes all the time. He is searching all the time. Inside man, there are two properties, of Bina and of Malchut. If we consisted only of the properties of Malchut, we would be like animals and would manage in the world quite nicely, because we are surrounded by the same level of nature. We would have no problems. We would never make mistakes. But inside there is this point of Bina, and with regards to that point, we don't know what to do. In this point, we have to feel the upper world, and we do not feel it. So this lack of information about the upper world creates all these problems in us. We make mistakes because Bina is present in us, and it is connected to its primary place. It does not receive the light. We all have this property of bestowal, but we do not develop it and do not feel the upper world. That's why we make mistakes. So the only one who makes mistakes is man, and he is called man because this property is present in him. This property is similar to the property of the Creator. That's why man is called Adam, from the word of Dome, which is similar to the Creator. So the only way out of the situation is to get out, to develop this point and open, reveal the upper world. And this point is growing steadily in us. And our egoistic desires are also growing. So it turns out that with each incarnation, with each new generation, we make more and more mistakes and come to such a state of suffering that we are unable to do anything. It will finally compel us to reveal the upper world, that is, to fill Bina with what it needs. We need this information about the upper world. If we get hold of it, we'll enter the state of equilibrium, balance with our environment, or merging with it, or merging with the Creator. You may call it whatever you like. And it turns out that we enter the state of perfection, omnipotence and eternity, security. All this depends only on how we realize our point of being in our heart in comparison with all the rest of our egoistic desires. Without the group, without the teacher, and without the proper book, it is impossible to accomplish. We'll stop our lesson at this point, and next time we'll start from paragraph 58. I am asking you to review the materials that we go through, read the book, I do not repeat exactly what I wrote in it, I don't even remember it, I speak in correspondence with your today's present state. It doesn't mean that we don't have to know about what is written in this book, but I add more information in accordance with your current state. What happens to us today? Boris in Scranton, Gene Aviv, Estonia, Sacramento, New York, B'nai Baruch Center, Atlanta, Gene Aviv, Israel, Brandon, New York, Gabriel in Karelia, Afula, Pardeshchana, Kiev, Stavropol, the Vienna group, Gene Aviv, the American group from Los Angeles, Elvira from Vilnius, B'nai Baruch, New York, Boston, Jerusalem, California, Princeton, Haifa, Kiryat Motzkin, Stavropol, Sochi, Vilna, Dallas, Texas, Haifa, Wisconsin, Isintuki, Lynn, Boston, Lithuania, Narva, Jerusalem, New York, San Francisco, Vladikavkaz, Brooklyn, Uzhgorod, Philadelphia, Estonia, different cities, towns in Estonia, Tallinn, Pärnu, Voronezh, Chicago, Philadelphia, Ashkelon, many people. It's hard to mention everybody. Thank you for being present. Who can we see in our screen? Alec and Ina in Minnesota, Queens, Chicago, Philadelphia, Yana in New York, Atlanta, the next row, Eva, Toronto, Uzhgorod, Toronto, San Francisco, and Odessa, the third. Row, Philadelphia, Vilna, Kaliningrad, Almaty, Vienna, and Kiev. St. Petersburg, 47 people, Tony in Toronto, Kaliningrad, London, and Helsinki, Finland. Besides, there was 65 men and 51 women in Moscow. I ask you once again to become more active in our virtual world meetings. You don't have to be specially equipped. Just send an electronic letter to us. Send your suggestions. Write some kind of address. Excite us with something. What do you suggest so that we would feel this connection between us? It is so difficult to strengthen Bina inside of our Malchut. All those who surround me is to shout in my ears and prove to me that there is nothing better than that, and then I'll be able to do that. I am a slave of the society, but this society, this environment has to impose its ideas on me. Stay well, goodbye, see you the day after tomorrow on our next virtual lesson.